This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, good Saturday morning. Appreciate you listening, however you may be. Sportsmap 94.1, locally in Houston, and of course, across SB Nation and our stream, SBNationRadio.com. Charlie, how are you, my friend?
You know, I'm pretty darn good, considering it's July and we're having so much heat. I haven't played golf in about 10 days because of
Whoa.
The heat. But I've been watching a lot of golf, and I can't believe how many bad shots Phil Mickelson hits.
He does have a propensity to do that, and he missed the cut at the Scottish Open.
Scottish Open, I'm not sure exactly what that means. the year he won the Open Championship, he won the Scottish the week before. So does this mean he's going to miss the cut at Carnoustie?
Was that in 13, Charlie, when Phil won the Open?
Yes.
He actually won the Scottish Open the week prior?
Yes.
Interesting. So maybe that is a correlation, because Phil – he started off, remember, he won in Mexico, and he was playing well there.
Yeah.
And since then, it has not been a great season for Lefty, and he's had a lot of controversy going back to the U.S. Open, of course, when he hit a moving ball. So it's been a weird season for
Phil.
When
he played croquet, you mean?
Yeah, when he played croquet. And then, remember, we keep hearing this thing that he's talking about with Tiger Woods, playing for $10 million.
So, you know, life goes on in the life of Phil Mickelson.
Yeah. Also, Hideki Matsuyama missed the cut as well, Charlie.
My man, I don't know what's going on, but he's having a hard time recovering from his injuries early on in the year. So he's a disappointment. But then the question is, what's Tiger going to do?
Yeah, that's where I saw him tweeting this morning. He said, any great places to play? Question mark. Said he arrived in somewhere in England, and he said anywhere to play, like he's asking people on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. He's hard to get on the golf course anymore.
Yeah. All right. A lot to get into. Bill Harmon's going to join us momentarily here.
Who?
Bill Harmon.
Bill.
Yeah.
Was he with us last time?
He was.
He was.
He was. So 2 weeks ago, he was caddying the U.S. Senior Open.
That's right. Hard to keep up with him.
Yeah. So we got to get into the schedule changes, Charlie, because now it's official. The PGA Championship is moving to May. So we'll get your take on that. We'll get Bill's take on that. And as we do each and every week on this show, we'll get you the tip of the week. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and in Houston on Sportsmap 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, good Saturday morning, and a special thanks to Insperity, who makes this program possible each and every week for us, Charlie.
Yes, Insperity, a company that will inspire business performance and help small business create a better footprint, increase their business, just make them better. They will take care of the stuff that the business owners don't need to, like government relations and payroll and so on and so forth. So always give Insperity a call if you want help with your small business.
All right, and joining us now, as he does each and every week, Bill Harmon. Bill, how are you?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Bill, I'm doing wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing great, Charlie. Just great.
Are you really watching this Senior Ladies Open?
Well, it hasn't been on TV yet, but I will today. I'm interested to see what Chicago Golf Club looks like. I've never played there. I heard some interesting things about it. And, yeah, I've been kind of following it. You know, it's the very first one, and I'm interested to see what the interest is like. I've talked to some people covering the tournament and said it has a wonderful feel to it. So, I'm somewhat interested in it, actually.
How come it's taken so long to get it going?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't have the answer for it because, as you know, they've had senior amateurs and things like that, and I'm not sure why it's taken this long, but it is here. They're playing for the biggest purse, even though it's $1 million, but that's the biggest purse the ladies have ever played for. they're playing a historical club in a Chicago golf club, and scores look pretty high. I understand that the greens are very, very treacherous. Have you ever played there, Charlie?
You know, I have one time many, many years ago, and it's a classic. It's the Wingfoot of Chicago. It's really quite a unique facility, old golf, and I think a wonderful golf course.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. I know that Julie Inkster, who's a member of Toscana, is really, really keen on trying to win the very first one. But I have a kind of a funny story. There was a lady that the first round shot 105. And I got a hold of somebody at Fox to see if I could get her contact info. And I wrote her a note to tell her that I admired her for posting her score. I don't know if I'd have had the courage to do it. Charlie, you've played in major championships. I have not. I'm sure it was the pinnacle of your career. If you would have gone out and shot your worst round ever in that environment, that would have been a very, very difficult day. So I admire her for posting her score and being a part of the inaugural Senior Open. But it must have been just a nightmare to play like that in probably the biggest event of her life.
Well, I posted back-to-back 82s at the U.S. Open at Cherry Hills, and that was hard to do. But the only way, you know, I got injured. I hurt my back, and I couldn't get out of the rough. Actually, I was leading the Open after the first four holes on my first round on Thursday, and I hit a shot out of the rough on the ninth hole, and I really hurt my back, and I had to post back 82-82, and that hurt a lot. But it was I was proud of it. I tried. I mean, that's all you can do.
Yep, you're right. You're right.
I hit a lady in the head.
Is that true?
One of the only pars I made that day. I got it up and down. It was a par in the back, par three on the back nine, and she was so sweet. But it was one of those days that you live and learn, and that's why I'm a golf professional, not a professional golfer.
You really hit a lady in the head.
Yeah.
She do okay after that?
Yeah. I got up, you know, and gave her the golf ball, and she was very, very nice.
Hey, speaking of somebody that is a professional golfer, Tiger Woods, you see what he tweeted out this morning? You follow him on social media, Charlie? He tweeted out here in London before the Open, any nice greens to practice on? You got any suggestions for him?
He's looking for a place to play. That really surprises me. I thought his manager and all that would have that set up before he went over to the British Isles, Bill.
Yeah, I would have. I don't know. Maybe it was a tongue-in-cheek thing. Watching the Scottish Open, boy, there hasn't been much rain. That course is playing so fast, it's unbelievable. I wonder if Carnoustie's in the similar condition. It should be, shouldn't it, Charlie?
Yeah, it's going to be. They've had a spring where they haven't had much moisture, and it's hard and it's dry, and it's going to be a different type of golf than those guys are accustomed to. But Bill, I'm still very surprised on how many really bad shots Phil Mickelson hits in a round of golf.
Yeah, I agree with you, Charlie. I have my own thoughts on it. His club face is so wide open halfway down on his downswing and quite steep. I'm just surprised that he's never taken the time to maybe soften that a little bit. It's interesting that a guy as gifted and talented as he is, certainly the second best player of our generation or this generation, can't come up with a swing to drive the ball better. I've always been fascinated by that. For the most part, most of the good drivers of the golf ball are a little bit shut at the top and have less face rotation coming down. And he has a lot. And even with his abilities and his great feel and touch, something's just not right there. But when you've won 44 tournaments and five majors, you're going to believe in yourself and your own style. And I understand that also. But I think at this stage of his career, if he wants to win the Grand Slam or win other majors, he's got to learn to drive the ball better, wouldn't you say?
Man, oh, man, you got to, yes. You know, 48 years old and thinking that he can keep it up with these young guys that are hitting it straight and can put the eyes out of it. But Phil is Phil, and it might surprise us.
Yes, he might. And part of what his strength is his self-belief. So I don't doubt Phil Mickelson. I just think with all the instruction he's had that I'm sure people have tried to change it, but for some reason he might not want to.
Yeah, you mentioned it, that Phil missed the cut at the Scottish Open. Robert Rock has the lead. He's at 13 under. Phil finished at 1 under par. Ricky Fowler's playing pretty well here at the Scottish Open, Charlie.
Yeah,
10 under par, 66, 64. So Ricky looks good as he's getting ready for the Open Championship.
He won the Scottish Open at the same golf course a couple years ago. So he's setting himself up to have a good championship. But, you know, they're about 60 miles, maybe 80 miles away from as the crow flies to Carnoustie, and but next week will be completely different than this week because of the golf course is so hard, and they'll set it up hard. But Ricky's, you know, really an attractive pick going into that championship, Bill.
Yeah, I agree with you, Charlie. I think actually he would be my pick because I think playing over in the Scottish Open is going to be helpful. But, you know, he's got kind of a risky pop stroke, which is better on slower greens. By and large, the Open greens are a lot slower than what they're used to in America. And sometimes the shoulder putters and the dead-handed putters aren't as good on slow greens. And so I think Ricky's got a little bit of pop stroke. He's over there for a week. He's getting acclimated to time and the conditions of the course. And if Carnoustie is playing hard and fast, Ricky's a very good shot maker. So I think he's a very good selection to win the Open Championship. The only drawback on him is he's only won four tournaments in his PGA Tour career, which to me is somewhat astounding for as good as he is.
Yeah, especially considering how popular he is on the tour, too, that he's only won four tournaments. What do you think the biggest thing is, Charlie, that's holding him back from winning more with Ricky Fowler? Is it a mental thing?
Well, no, it's one of these. His golf swing is a little loose at times, and he goes for it all the time. He doesn't look like he can win with his B game because he makes a triple every now and then, and there are very few tournaments you're going to win making large numbers like Ricky does. And until his swing to me, Bill, is going to get better with age. And when he gets to be 32, 33, I think that's when he's going to start winning, when he can tone it down and realize that there's a lot of shots that he doesn't have to go for the pin or go for certain shots, that he can play a little more conservative and still win.
Well, he told Butch that when he gets in the hunt, he gets a little bit impatient early in the rounds. If he makes an early bogey, he tends to force things right after that. And Butch felt that his performance at Augusta on Sunday was a big deal because he didn't get off to a good start, and I think he played the last 10 holes and 6 under or something to that effect. But they had spoken about that, why he doesn't play as well on Sunday, and Ricky told him that he felt that perhaps early in rounds, if he made an early bogey, he just got a little bit too aggressive and didn't let the game come to him. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets in the hunt again, especially at the Open Championship, and even this week he's in the hunt to see how he responds. But as you know, Charlie, the more you have a negative thing going on in your golf career, there is scar tissue there. I don't care what anybody says. And the longer he goes without winning these tournaments, the harder it is going to be.
Yeah, you know, we put so much value on experience, but there's good experience and bad experience, and that bad experience has a tendency to linger in somebody's mind, and you get certain shots or certain situations that you think back to, oh man, I screwed up. I'm going to do it again, and get that doubt in the back of your mind. So hopefully, you know, and you would think that he could fight his way out of it, and I hope he does,
yeah,
because he's such a wonderful kid.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see him play well next week. That'll be fun. All right, speaking of next week, we'll take a look ahead to the Open Championship in just a little bit. And the PGA schedule for next year is now official. We'll get to that all right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, locally in Houston on SportsMap 94.1 and nationally on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, we're going to get into the schedule that's, of course, changed, but how about Augusta? The fifth hole will be lengthened for the Masters. The club is adding a tee box that will lengthen the fifth hole by 30 yards. The fifth hole currently 455 yards, Charlie.
Yes, it will be interesting how that plays because it'll be depend on if they move it back far enough and the wind is where it is, they won't be able to get up that hill. And now they're going to hit into a green that's one of the most diabolical greens on the golf course, Bill, and I don't want to be able to have to hit 5-iron into that green, do you?
Well, that's what they used to hit. So, you know, the bottom line is that these guys hit the ball so far, it's difficult to make a long course, to make a course too long for them. You know, they've grown up that if you have to hit a 4 or 5 iron into a par 3 or a par 4, that it's an unfair hole, but it's okay to hit a 7 iron in your second shot to a par 5. So I don't have any problem with it lengthening it. I think that the game warrants that. They're not going to make the fairways real tight with a lot of rough, so they have to defend the course a little bit with length. You know, I caddied in the Senior Open at the Broadmoor, and they defended the course with a lot of rough, where every time you hit the ball in the rough, you couldn't get to the green. So that's not Augusta's way of setting up the course. That's not the way the course was designed. So I think they're really, basically, they have to go with the length, Charlie, because the guys just hit it so far, they'd be chipping in every green.
Plus the fact that they have the money to be able to buy, you know, roads and move roads and buy adjacent land to expand.
Neighborhoods.
That golf course, yeah, neighborhoods. So, and they're spending their money to bring the golf course up to date. So it'll be a challenging golf course, and each year they make some good, you know, good changes. So be it.
All right, so also this week, the tour schedule became official for next year in the PGA Championship. We knew it was going to happen, but it's officially moving to May. What do you think of it, Charlie? You like the PGA Championship in May?
You know, I do. I've got to give the guys the benefit of the doubt that run the calendar and make it efficient. And now we got a major, the fifth major in March, and then April with the Masters and the PGA in May and U.S. Open in June, and then the Open Championship in July, and you end up with the Tour Championship, Bill, in August. I like it. I think it's going to be good for professional male golf.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Players Championship in March will be a totally different tournament because it can get cold and windy. I think we're going to see some very interesting golf there. The PGA Championship in May brings in weather on the East Coast. That will be a big, big difference, I think. And maybe in the future might limit some of the courses that they can have it on based on the weather in the Northeast. But I don't mind that. I like the fact that a major championship might not be played in a dome-like situation and you could have cold, windy, awkward weather. So I think it's a good move. Anything that's new, you know, it takes us a little time to get used to. But I think from a fan's perspective, and I'm a fan, I like the fact that we're just going to knock out these majors. Because I put the Players, to me, in my mind, as a major. And so starting in March, we have one a month, and then finishing the FedEx Cup in August before football and everything. I think that all in all is going to be a very, very good move. Two big things I'm looking for is the weather at the Players and the weather at the PGA, how it affects the competition. But to me. I like when weather affects things because it, by and large, will weed out the players that don't deserve to win, and the grinders will have a better chance. So I'm all for it. I think it's going to be great.
Bill, to your point, next year in 2019, it's at Bethpage, and we saw this past
year
the weather, or I should say the spring and the summer, were late coming to the Northeast, really late coming to the Northeast. So to your point, next May, it really could be a situation where the weather is not cooperating in May in New York. I mean, that certainly could be a case, Charlie, next year. And, I mean, we've seen PGA championships. I was at one in Tulsa at Southern Hills where it was like 100 every day.
Yeah, so it's a new, you know, the Muirfield Golf Tournament in Ohio used to be in the middle of May, and they'd have, you know, 40-degree weather, and it was really challenging. So May in New York can be very challenging, and it would be I think it would be good. It's good for it's an outdoor sport. And like Boo Weekly said about the British Open one year, it was cold and rainy over there. And he said, I don't know why they don't have this tournament in the summer. So, Bill,
you know, the other factor, though, Charlie, at that time of year in the Northeast, you know, the greens might not be as good as they might be in June or July. So I like it. I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out, but I would say I'm all for it. I think it's going to be, all in all, a very good move.
And in the long run, we might be able to have the PGA in Houston, Texas one year in May.
Wow, there you go.
See, I think that is a thing to look forward to. And honor our dear friend Jackie Burke for his years and years of bringing golf to Houston. And that's one thing I wish I could lobby for. PGA in Houston.
That would be pretty cool, Charlie. That would be pretty sweet.
It would be.
The one question I would ask, Bill, about moving the players to March, any concern about viewership with that? Because the players outside of the majors is the biggest tournament, and when you put it in March, you compete with the NCAA tournament. Any concern with that?
That could be a realistic concern. My biggest concern is one of these days, especially in March, because the weather is much different than it is in May, that 17th hole is going to play straight downwind with about a 30-mile-per-hour wind, and nobody's going to be able to finish. That would be my biggest concern. You know, Charlie?
You got that right. And, you know, like...
No, it could happen. Think it can either.
Like Jack Johnson said, he said, I don't look forward to having to hit a 7-iron into that green. Lately, it's just been a pitching wedge. It's been pretty docile. And you turn that wind around and the temperature down, and all of a sudden you got a 7-iron in there, and you're trying to knock it down. So it'll make for great theater. And television, as far as that's concerned, you know, today most of those basketball games are played in the evening, and golf is played, you know, before sunset. So I think you'll get, you know, viewership.
But remember with the tournament, they start them at like 11 a.m. So you got Thursday, 11 a.m. till whatever it is.
Yeah, you got 12 basketball geeks that, you know.
Geeks.
they can, and there's so many guys on the PGA Tour that like the tournament. So there's trade-offs no matter where you move it to.
What I do really like, though, is like once you start in April with the Masters, you have a major every month. Because I don't like that layoff where you don't have a major.
Yeah.
So it should be pretty cool.
Cool.
All right, well.
In more ways than one.
It definitely could be in March with the players, and then we'll see. It is interesting, though, the first year that they're moving the PGA Championship to May, it's going to be in the Northeast. It's going to be at Bethpage. So that is kind of funny how that worked out. So I imagine they'll be crossing their fingers, Charlie, hoping that the weather cooperates.
Yes.
All right, a lot more to get into this morning. We're going to get a lot into the Open Championships and predictions going into that as we're less than a week away. We'll get back into the Scottish Open as well and taking a look at Vegas, as Vegas has put out its odds on who the favorite is to win the Open Championship. I don't think it's going to be too difficult to guess who that's going to be, but definitely atop the board. You have an idea of who's going to be there. All right, you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We get a lot more to get into. Who will perform better next week at the Open Championship? Dustin Johnson or Brooks Koepka? Jordan Spieth or Rory McIlroy? Tiger or Phil? We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and in Houston on the all-new Sports Map 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, before we get into the odds, Charlie, with the Open Championship, how about Serena Williams today? Just had a kid, had complications when she was giving birth, had a shoulder injury. Now she's back to, as the 25th seed, shockingly, she's going to have a chance to win another major today. So I'm looking forward to that. We get the other one on in studio right now, Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic, which has been a great match.
Great entertainment. Great entertainment. Yes, Serena is quite an athlete. You know, that's one thing male professionals don't have to worry about is birth, giving birth, starting a family. And she did that, and she's back at it, and she's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah. Bill, you enjoy tennis?
Yeah, I like it during the majors. I must say I don't really follow it at all other than the major championships, but... You know, Serena might be the greatest woman athlete of all time. You think about what she's done. Unbelievable, really. And you know, she seems to be a cut above physically and mentally than all the other girls. And so I expect her to win this myself. And, you know, we've got another great match with Djokovic and Nadal going on right now. So Wimbledon has had some terrific matches. One yesterday was beyond belief. And... kind of get you jacked up for the Open Championship next week, because I think all of us sports fans, we like playoffs, majors, and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to the Open Championship next week.
Well, they had a picture last week of all the professional golfers that were at Wimbledon. There must have been a dozen of them, starting with Jack Nicklaus. So it's great entertainment and it's fun.
Yeah, so the Open Championship, you got to guess who's the favorite, Charlie, according to Vegas?
Well, probably Tiger's got to be, you know, around in there, but my favorite's going to be, like Bill said, Ricky Fowler.
The favorite, according to Vegas, is Dustin Johnson, 12-1 odds. Tiger Woods is down at 20-1 odds. He has the same odds as Brooks Koepka and Jon Rahm. So no surprise, Dustin Johnson, 12-1. And then this is what kind of surprised me a little bit. The second favorite, or the guy with the second best odds, is actually Rory McIlroy at 14-1.
Surprising.
Especially considering the way he's played this year, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't know how Vegas does it, but all they're interested in is getting the odds right for the money.
Yes.
They don't care really who wins.
Yeah, then you have Jordan Spieth 16-1, Justin Rose at 16-1, Ricky Fowler at 18-1, and Justin Thomas is at 18-1, along with Tommy Fleetwood as well. Bill, what do you make of Rory heading into this?
He's an enigma to me. I don't get it. You know, he just seems to be kind of lost in his career at the moment. He just doesn't have an identity, it seems like. He doesn't contend like we think he's going to. He just doesn't play as well or score as well. And it seems like, I think, Brian, you brought it up in one of our shows that, you know, a lot of his press conferences are kind of awkward. So he's searching for something. At the end of the day, I just don't think he putts well enough to contend on a regular basis. It's hard to hit the ball good enough to overcome poor putting. And I think the putting has become mental for him, and he doesn't have the confidence that he once had. And, you know, I've said it here ad nauseum. He's had more putting coaches than any great player that I've ever observed over the years. So I don't know what to think of Rory. I really don't. I'm a Rory fan. I like him. I know his parents a little bit. I like them very much. I think the game is better off when Rory's contending with these young guys. But, you know, if you look at how good his long game is, he's always had the same coach with his long game. But he hasn't had the same coach putting. Jordan Spieth always had the same coach. Justin Thomas always had the same coach. So a lot of the young players have continuity, and he has no continuity when it comes to his putting. And so you start crisscrossing those wires with four or five different techniques and thought processes, and all of a sudden an eight-footer on the right edge is just like the Rubik Cube, and at the end of the day it's an eight-footer put on the right edge and hit the right speed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing how the game is long game, short game, and how important that putter is. And once you get on the wrong side of it, it's so hard. And Bill, I don't know where in the world Jordan Spieth is. He's not a deer.
John Deere.
John Deere, and he's not playing the Scottish Open. What do you think he's up to? How do you think he's going to, you know, perform this, defending his championship going into Carnoustie?
Well, I was kind of happy that the last two shows you got off on your thing about experience and good experiences and bad experiences, because that got your teeth out of Jordan Spieth's bad putting all year, Charlie. But, you know, I don't know what he's doing. He's the defending champ, correct?
Yes.
And, you know, I got to believe he knows what he's doing and how to prepare for this tournament. And I would think that he'll be ready come Carnoustie. He might be over there praying practice rounds. We don't know. So, but interesting, as you know, Charlie, putting those greens is very different because they don't make them that fast. So, and they have a lot of subtle breaks because these courses are so old. But I'm going to assume that Jordan Spieth will be ready to defend his championship next Thursday.
Hey, Bill, you were mentioning that all these guys have the same coach. You forgot Angel Cabrera and Charlie Epps when you were mentioning that group. So.
You know, I did forget to do that. I don't know what happened to me. I kind of lost my mind there.
All right, so speaking of Jordan Spieth, I put together a list comparing some of these guys, who's going to perform better next week at the Open Championship. So let's start with Jordan Spieth or Rory McIlroy. Who plays better next week?
I say Jordan.
I'm going to go with Rory.
Okay. Interesting.
Mark these down, Brian, so we can compare our picks.
Yep, Bill, what I'm doing right now is I'm putting a C next to Rory and a B next to Spieth. So we'll keep track of this to see who performs better. All right, so let's start with some heavyweights here. They just went head-to-head in the U.S. Open. Good friends, Dustin Johnson or Brooks Koepka?
I'm going to go with Brooks Koepka.
Wow. How about you, Bill?
Bruce Koepka, okay. I'll go with DJ. I'll take DJ over Brooks.
All right, so far you guys have not agreed in either one of these matchups. All right, which is good. Makes it more interesting. How about this one? Guys that know a little bit about winning majors. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, I'll give Bill.
Tiger.
I'll take Wild Bill. Wild Phil. Come in fairway. I hope he just plays it with irons. You can play Carnoustie with irons because it's going to play hard and it's going to play fast. So, come on, Phil.
I'm surprised you're going with Phil, though, Charlie.
He went with...
You know, oh, that's why you did it.
You know, Tiger's, you know, he's got a great iron play, you know, iron game, and it'll be fun to watch these. I hope they get paired together.
All right, how about Patrick Reed, who played great at the U.S. Open after winning the Masters, played really well. How about Justin Thomas? Patrick Reed or Justin Thomas?
You go first this time.
Justin Thomas. I'm a little afraid of Patrick Reed's driver. He's a big hooker, and he gets it going. It's those fairways and those bunkers are going to eat him up.
Who do you have, Bill?
I want to take Patrick Reed. I think he's over there. He's getting acclimated to Lynx Golf. I think that's a big deal. He seems to be kind of ready to be a prime time player. So I'll take Patrick Reed there, Charlie.
All right.
You know what I love about Patrick Reed is these big tournaments. It seems like he soaks up that opportunity. Like you go back to the Ryder Cup and then the Masters this year, the U.S. Open. It seems like these big tournaments, the bigger the tournament gets, the better Patrick Reed plays.
Yeah, he likes the stage.
He has great presence. I think he's got great presence under the gun in big tournaments. He handles himself very well. Very well. Yeah. Very impressed with the way he comports himself in major championships under the gun.
Yes.
All right. Got one more for you.
Okay.
Guy that's playing really well at the Scottish Open right now, Ricky Fowler, who's looking for, as Bill referenced, would be his fifth career victory, but of course his first major victory, or John Rahm.
Who's going first?
You can go first this one, Bill.
Even though I picked Ricky to win, I want to take John Rahm. He played pretty good in the Irish Open. I think he's got, like Ricky, got that low penetrating ball flight. He's one of those guys that's kind of laid off at the top, which played good in windy conditions. So I'm going to go with I'm going to step outside the box and go with Rahm.
How hard is it? He's perfect for this golf course. That's my dark horse. I think he can win here. But I will go with Ricky, as if he can keep his choice of shots correct and not really, you know, put himself in a bind, you know, with a big number. If he makes no double bogeys or more, he'll win. Ricky. Go Ricky. Come on, Ricky.
Charlie, you mentioned something there. You think that Carnoustie is a pretty good course for John Rahm?
Yeah.
Sets up well for him?
Yeah. Well, it's just the surface. I like how he hits his irons. He seems to really, you know, be able to hit down on the ball and flight the ball really well. And he's a big guy, so he can play this golf course.
All right, before we move on, you guys have a favorite open?
A favorite open?
Yeah.
I always liked St. Andrews, and I liked when Nicklaus won at St. Andrews after in 78, after losing to Tom Wise. Watson in 77 at Turnberry. He came back after a devastating loss and won on the at St. Andrews.
How about you, Bill?
I think the one that sticks out to me was Watson's Turnberry, not when he beat Jack, but when he ended up losing to Stewart Cink. I think that, you know, I really believe he hit two perfect shots on the last hole. And he told me that his ball landed in an indentation on the green, you know, and literally trickled over the green on its last roll. So I thought it kind of expressed golf at its highest level, a guy about to win a championship that would have been just beyond comprehension, hit two perfect shots. And Lynx Golf took over, and the ball took an unfortunate bounce. So I think that's the one tournament, especially in recent years, just stands out to me to just be almost be beyond belief. A, that he was in contention to win. B, that he hit two perfect shots, but the golf gods weren't there for him. And that's golf, and that's Lynx Golf, as Charlie knows. The unpredictable bounces. And I just thought it was a compelling tournament to see him almost win the Open Championship at 59 years old.
Yeah, one of the recent ones I enjoyed was Phil Mickelson in 13 when he hadn't won a major for a while.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that was a fun Open Championship to see Phil win. All right, when we come back, we do it each and every week on the show. We'll give you the tip of the week on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett. It's time for the tip of the week on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
All right, Charlie, the floor is yours, my friend. It's the tip of the week.
We're going into the Open Championship at Carnoustie next week, and it's going to be a different golf than we play predominantly here in the United States. I would encourage our listeners to maybe record one round and then record it and watch it, and you're going to see the art of chipping really get into it. And because there's not much grass, it's really hard and fast. You got to learn to hit that chip and run. And I think if you learn the chip and run shot, that type of shot will help you hit some better irons, because the shaft's got to be in front of the face. You're hitting down on it instead of trying to hit up on it with that driver all the time. Learn how to chip and pitch, and I think you'll become a better iron player. Bill?
Well, my tip of the week is kind of in honor of the senior men's and ladies open of last week and this week, that golf is a game for a lifetime. And it's something that I know I'm almost 68 years old, and I'm playing about the best golf of my life, but I work at it. And if you're going to play golf, don't be afraid to make changes and work at it a little bit. Keep yourself in golf shape, because you can play golf literally the rest of your life and enjoy it. And I would say that there's no really other sport that you can enjoy and play like you can golf into your 80s and 90s. So stay current with your game. Keep trying to improve. And you're never too old to keep learning about golf.
No doubt. All right. So before we go today, you want to get the predictions officially on the record for who's going to win next week?
Sure. I certainly will. And my prediction is...
Ricky?
Gone blank. What's your prediction, Bill?
Ricky Fowler.
I hope Ricky Fowler, I hope, you know, Jordan Spieth defends his championship. That, I think that would be a big thrill in golf. Everybody, it would be a feel good, like with Ricky. But and then Tommy Fleetwood, for some reason, just came into mind.
I mean, he was great at the U.S. Open.
He's one of the best Euros playing, so it'll be fun either way. Bill, it's been great. You be good, and thanks for showing up at our show.
All right. Thanks for that really good prediction you made there, Charlie.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
What, do you take the field or what there, Brian?
I think so. All right. Okay. Bill, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Charlie. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
For the record, I'm going with Rory. Come back for Rory this week.